certainly thankful for the opportunity to be back with you here at Oak Grove, to be engaged in the service of the Lord here in Ebenezer Fellowship. I certainly enjoyed the meeting thus far and greatly enjoyed what Brother Isaacs has brought before us. Haven't been in this place in a long time to be second in afternoon service, so I know you're tired. I also know that I'm tired, so we'll try to be brief so you can go home and rest some before tonight's service. Before I do begin, though, just a couple things. I serve a church that has been there long enough now. We have a cemetery with some aged graves, and like Brother James said, as I walk among our cemeteries, we have a number of little graves. I had the responsibility about 4 years ago to conduct a service of a little baby, and that verse there with King David regarding his son was about the only thing that I knew to go to comfort a grieving mother and father, that instead of rejoicing at the birth of a child, instead was standing there over the grave of a child. And I was thankful that God recorded by divine providence and inspiration the experience of David and his son. Brother Isaac's also brought to us about consequences of sin and how that can be visited for many generations. Brother Ron and I preached a funeral 2 or 3 years ago of a dear sister at Little Union that lived at being just shy of 102 years of age. Her and her husband were very stalwart members of the congregation there. And at her funeral, she and her husband had 3 children. And altogether, their spouses and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that family had multiplied out of 2 individuals marrying. There were 61 people in attendance of her direct descendants at her funeral, and not a single one of them an Old Baptist. And I had asked her some time before her mind had slipped what she thought the cause of that was. And back in the early days that they met at Little Union, the church there met once a month, and where they lived, it was not real convenient to go to the area churches on other Sundays. And so they had allowed their children to attend the other denominational churches of this world. And so they got entertained with the various things that other churches offer that I thank God, as was mentioned last night, are not here in the Lord's house. But sadly, all of those descendants were taken away from the house of God as a direct result of things that those parents allowed that, looking back, she wished she hadn't allowed. And so I encourage you today. I'm noticing things among our people today that greatly alarm me. I know of occasions where parents, to get a break from their children in summertime, are allowing their children to attend denominational vacation Bible schools that are Old Baptist, and I'm thinking, what doctrine is being taught there? There's other youth camps and other things that are growing in popularity among our people today that concern me as well. And I just encourage God's people to stick with what the Word of God teaches. Amen. And I believe if we will do that, that God's people will be satisfied, as has been mentioned twice already in this meeting, with the fatness of God's house. I want to be satisfied with the doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ, the practice of the Church of Jesus Christ, the singing of the hymns in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that ceases to satisfy me, I need to do something about correcting my walk with the Lord so that those things once again renew me and satisfy me. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 gives us 4 things that we can do and do effectively in the house of God, and I believe a healthy place for God's children. It says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. And I think the church will just stick to those things. Those things will help a church to be a healthy, vibrant place for God's people. In the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we find it says in verse 10 that he, speaking of Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on a Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This healing that we find here in Luke's gospel is only recorded this one time. It's not found in Matthew, Mark, or John. But this experience impressed upon Luke enough that it was recorded as it was told Luke later on. He thought this was needful to be recorded for you and I to read. I remember as a young child going to the house of God, there was a woman much like is described here. I remember her very plainly. I don't remember her name. I don't know that I ever knew it. But every time I see her come to the house of God, she was literally bent over in half. And it was a great struggle for her to come to the house of God. But I'll never forget watching her during the meetings that we would have when tears would be coursing down her face. And even though she was in great agony in her body, she was always very happy in her spirit and in her soul. And every time I read about this lady here in Luke chapter 13, I can't help but think back to that dear lady and the great pains it took for her to be in the house of God. And if anybody could have given excuse for not being in God's house, certainly she could have given one. And most of us would have understood if she had stayed home instead of coming out to the Lord's house. And I'm amazed at the excuses that I hear nowadays about why people can't come to God's house. And I think back to some of the things that our forefathers have had to go through. Ministers, what they had to go through in traveling to the house of God. What people had to go through to get to the house of God. And yet they went. And they went because they understood that, number one, it's their obligation to serve God. Luke would also tell us, unto whom much is given, much is also required. And much has certainly been given to us as children of God, so much is required of us. And if for no other reason, we ought to do it because we love the Lord. And out of a sense of obligation and duty to Him, we ought to gladly come to the house of God and worship Him. But thankfully, in addition to fulfilling our obligation to the Lord by coming to His house, He also blesses us in great and mighty ways. So here it says that the Lord Jesus was teaching in the synagogues, in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And here comes this woman who had this spirit of infirmity. It calls it a spirit of infirmity because later Jesus will tell the ruler of the synagogue that Satan had bound this woman. This that she had was caused by Satan. Now, there's two extremes of thought in this world today, and there were in the Bible as well, sin has no effect on our bodies, or that every effect on our body is because we've done some sin. I remember there in the Gospel of John chapter 9, the disciples saw a man born blind. Who did sin, they asked, him or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said neither one. It wasn't the parents' fault, and it wasn't his fault. He says, but that the glory of God would be revealed, that's why this was the case. That is true that we can sin, and because of that, we have effects of sin or the judgment of sin in our natural bodies. But there are some occasions that our natural bodies are just affected just because of the process of aging or other things that can happen in this world, accidents and so forth. Well, in this case, we know directly that this was something that Satan was doing to this woman. Again, she has a spirit of infirmity. Satan has bound her so that she was bowed together. She was bent over, yet here she was in the house of God. Notice here is Jesus on the Sabbath day in the synagogue and He's teaching. And here comes this woman into the synagogue, which I suspect was her custom to do. And notice it says, when Jesus saw her, here she was 18 years in this condition. Now, I've already mentioned she could have probably just stayed at home that day and nobody would have judged her for that. But instead, she believed the right place to be was in the synagogue on the Lord's day. See, they met on the sixth day in that day and time, or excuse me, the seventh day in that time. We meet on the first day of the week nowadays. But this was the day of worship in the Old Testament day. And so she was going, as people ought to do on the Lord's day, to worship the Lord in the Lord's house. She understood where God was to be praised. God certainly can be honored and praised in our behavior, in the workplace, in the school place, on vacation, in traffic, in all the places that we go through in this world. But it's the obligation of the child of God to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Unless you have a rightful excuse, you ought to be in the Lord's house every Lord's day. Of course, here I am preaching to the choir because you're here on a Friday afternoon. So you're showing that you love the Lord to be in the Lord's house on a Friday afternoon. But anyway, here this woman, she recognized that it was right to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. And on this Lord's Day, she's going to find something even extra special than she had ever experienced before. Here she comes to the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. I don't know if it had been announced that Jesus was going to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. But this day, she's going to see the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of this experience face to face. Here she comes that day. Whether she knew He was going to be there or not, she still came out of the Lord's house. I don't know every Lord's Day how the Lord is going to manifest Himself. I trust every time that we meet at home that the Lord is going to be there. I ask for His presence there. I want to feel His presence there. I want the people to experience His presence there. But whether the Lord comes or not, it's still my obligation to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day. And I guarantee you this, you won't experience the Lord's presence in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day if you're not there. You've got a much better opportunity to experience the Lord's presence in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day if you're there at the appointed hour. Here, this woman, she comes and has the blessed opportunity of meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and when Jesus saw her. I'm thankful that the Bible teaches us abundantly that the Lord knows every need that we have. We find that the Apostle Peter says that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open under our prayers. He sees and He also hears. He knows what we're going through. He understands our complaint even before we would ever ask Him of anything. The Lord Jesus Christ is never ignorant of any of the experience that we go through. He knows every heartache. He knows every difficulty. He knows every trial. He knows every distress. He knows every thing that affects us, everything that Satan brings in our way, everything the world brings in our way, and everything that even our carnal nature brings into our way. He understands that all, and it's not a single day or a single event that we experience that goes by the notice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus saw her. Jesus took notice of her. It just means that Jesus put His attention on this individual. I believe the Lord was in this synagogue on this Lord's Day for this particular woman. And you never know. You know you have needs. And it may be that the Lord will come and bless the man of God on the Lord's Day to preach something that you specifically need. There may be something expressed in the Lord's house this coming Lord's Day that you've been struggling with, that your heart has been burdened with, or maybe you've been afflicted by, and come into the house of God. You'll hear just exactly what it is that God would bless you to hear if you'll go to the right place. Amen. So it says, Jesus saw her, and then He called her to Him, and He's going to speak, and then He's going to act. First He says to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity," and He laid His hands on her. This is different than Jesus generally behaves when one is possessed of a devil. Generally, when one is possessed with a demonic spirit, the Lord would just tell that spirit to leave the one. This case is a little different, though. She's got the spirit of infirmity. Satan has bound her, and yet Jesus lays His hand upon her. He speaks, but He also touches. And aren't you glad to know that we have one in heaven that not only can we hear His word expressed, but we can feel the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when we come to the house of God, and when the Spirit of God is felt, we can actually, as it were, feel the Lord laying His hand upon our shoulder and encouraging us and undergirding us and strengthening us in the way. And I would encourage once again God's people to never miss an opportunity to be in the house of God. We are all bowed down with different loads of care. Brother Sam, I wish I could live a completely stress-free life, but I have to pastor a church, and so it's sometimes difficult to do. The reality is that we live in a sin-cursed world. And there is truth to what we heard preached this morning, that we are to cast our cares upon the Lord Jesus Christ, for He careth for us. But the reality is, too many times we forget to do that, and we are bowed down with loads of care and burdens that would press us sore. The Bible teaches us that we're cast, that we're troubled on every side, that everywhere we look in this world, there's difficulty, there's trouble, and there's affliction. But we also find there when Paul says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that affliction, it's a light affliction, and it's just for a moment, and it works for far more an exceeding eternal weight of glory if we'll look at the eternal things which are not seen. Amen. Here this woman, she comes to the right place at the right time. She goes to the house of God, and there she meets the Lord Jesus Christ. He lays His hand on her, and immediately it says she was made straight. You know what? She does the right thing. She glorified God. God blessed her that day, and so God received the glory. She spoke immediately in praise and adoration and thanks to the one who had relieved her of her oppression. There's been many times that I bowed down as I came to the house of God. Sometimes I knew about the brokenness in a family in our church. Or maybe I knew about the brokenness in the life of an individual, or feeling the own weight of my sin, or feeling just discouraged about things in this world, or things maybe in the house of God. But yet at the end of the experience there, being in the house of God, I felt uplifted, and it was a wonderful experience. And every time that occurs, we ought to do like this lady did, and glorify God from delivering us from our distress, and allowing us to stand up straight again. Just like David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. That is higher than I. David would say in Psalm 121, I will look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. This woman couldn't hardly look up at the beginning of the experience, but by the time the Lord Jesus was through dealing with her, she could certainly look up and have great reason for rejoicing. But then, the ruler of the synagogue, he speaks. You know, it seems like every time there's something good going on in our lives, there's always somebody or something that's going to try to rain on that. We've been very blessed at home recently with a number of new folks attending that are coming to understand the doctrines of grace. Very thankful for that. But at the same time, while I can rejoice on one hand, knowing all the blessings going on while others are seeing the doctrines of grace and understanding the truth for the first time, I know over here on this hand that this family's having this difficulty. This sickness is affecting this one. And while there's rejoicing on one hand, there's sorrow on the other. There's a song in our hymn, but mixtures of joy and sorrow daily I do pass through. And that's the reality of our experience. Here is this man, the ruler of the synagogue, basically the pastor of the church. Here's the one that ought to have been the most grateful here this day. I mean, this man, the ruler of the synagogue, you're telling how many times this woman had come out of the place that he was the ruler over, and yet he never was able to heal her. She never went away upright after he had done his preaching. But yet the Lord Jesus, in one occasion in teaching in this synagogue, this woman is healed of her infirmity. Satan is driven away. She's standing upright, and she's glorifying God. I mean, everything that's just happened is orderly and right because the Son of God has done it, and her response was a good and biblical response. But notice what this man says. It says, he answered with indignation. That means he was angry at what just has transpired. This man does not understand that the Son of God has been doing a miraculous work right there in his sight. Instead of understanding that God's grace was on a great display this day, this man is angry. He says to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed. In other words, the Lord's day is not the day for healing in this man's mind. This pastor had it all mixed up. I believe just the opposite. It's the Lord's day that we ought to expect the greatest blessing and the greatest healing. Sunday's my favorite day of the week. I look forward all week long to come to the Lord's house, to be with the Lord's people, to hear the Lord's gospel and sing songs to the Lord. And yet this man, what's he say? It's not the Lord's day that you ought to expect healing. He had it all turned around backwards. And Jesus, notice what he says. He says, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall? You know what Jesus has just said? That woman is mine. He says, this is what you would do for a beast. You wouldn't keep him tied down so he couldn't get a drink of water or get a bite to eat. You would have compassion on a beast. He says, she's mine. And she's much more valuable than an ox or an ass that's locked up in a stall. She's been bound these many years. He says, notice, ought not this woman. That word ought is the same one found in John chapter 13 about ought we to wash one another's feet, which tells us that we're supposed to, that it's lawful, that it's right, that it's what God has required of us. Jesus just said, what I have done here was lawful, it was required, it was a thing that was supposed to be done. He says, ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham? Here's one of my children, one of Abraham's own, he says, whom Satan had bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on a Sabbath day. If God's people can't come to the house of God and expect blessing and healing and deliverance, my friends, we're in a very poor situation. We ought to expect that when we come to God's house, that God's name will be honored. But in the end result of God's name being honored, we're going to be lifted up and encouraged and strengthened in our walk before the Lord. So when the Lord Jesus had said these things, notice it says all his adversaries. He had enemies there that day. All his adversaries were ashamed. They had to go away ashamed for their attitude. I don't think they corrected their attitude, but they certainly were ashamed of it in his presence. I love what the apostle teaches us in Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 10, that those of us that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall never be ashamed. Believing on the Lord Jesus, you won't have to be ashamed. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never be confounded. Trusting in the Lord Jesus, you'll never have to make haste. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be greatly delivered. Notice what it goes on to say, and all the people, outside of the adversaries, all the people, it says, rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. What a wonderful attitude when we come to the house of God expecting the Lord to bless, and then lo and behold, when the Lord actually does it. This woman, she glorified God, and in the end of that experience, after the Lord rebukes the hypocrites, we find that all the people, they rejoice at all the glorious things that were done by him. All of us, I suspect, could get up this afternoon and spend the rest of this evening telling about all the glorious things that God has done in our experience. Well, let's just glorify God. He knows, but as you do have opportunity to share and thank him for all that he's done for us. May God bless you, sir.